You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn and Craig Forsyth with you on this edition, looking ahead to a superb Saturday of action from Newbury. Also racing coming up from Newmarket, Thirsk, Bangor, Doncaster, Uttoxeter and Navan on Saturday. We are going to focus our attentions primarily on Newbury. And for the record, to clear, right here at William Hill is applicable at Newmarket, at Doncaster and for the four ITV races at Newbury on Saturday. And they're the four that we're going to focus on. So that works quite well. Although I will just say, to clear, T's and C's do apply. You need six or more runners in the first race that will focus on the 150. Does currently have six runners, but beware of non-runners because the ground has been a little different in the last week or so. Mr. Forsyth, first things first, hello and how are you?
Hello, Mr. Dunn. Yes, I am very well. Very well indeed.
Good.
Enjoyed 3 days on the Naves Mile.
Mm.
The weather spoilt a good day for me on Wednesday because I had to cancel a planned trip there. I didn't fancy standing in the wet all day and watch from the comfort of my sofa. But yeah, three really enjoyable days racing as ever at York.
We are recording this podcast just after the Yorkshire Cup, which went the way of Dartmouth, beating Simple Verse and High Jinx, who's run an absolute cracker in third. What a fantastic renewal of that contest, because on paper it looked good, and when you actually came to watch it, there were five in a line half a furlong out, and they were all over the track.
Yeah, there's a few ways to look at the race, Alex. The fact that, you know, the 9-year-old fairly exposed High Jinx got so close, you know, is a reason to be a little bit cautious over the overall form. I know Ken, who gave the William Hill Radio, you know, his thoughts on the race, Simple Verse and Endless Time, the two fillies, you know, he said would improve enormously for the run. They've both gone very close. And Dartmouth, who was on ratings the best horse in the race, you know, he shaped like he was a little bit rusty for me, and he was doing all his best work in the closing stages. He's come from off the pace. He's proved his class in the finish. I thought it was a real strong ride in the saddle from Ryan Moore. Mile six for the first time for Dartmouth. He had some strong middle distance form last year, but he's shaped like he's going to be a cup horse for me on the back of that.
Completely. And to the point where if you didn't know the horse's profile, he looked like he'd been there, done that already.
Yeah, indeed. He looked like he just got away with the trip today, didn't he?
Yeah.
And, you know, that was a stepping stone to go up to 2 miles and beyond. I mean, I know he won the Hardwick last year at Royal Ascot, but I wonder if they'll be tempted to go for the Ascot Gold Cup on the back of that performance.
Mm. No, I think I'd agree, actually.
It's a big step up, but the way he's shaped suggests he'll get that trip to me, and he could be an interesting runner. So, a good performance, good race, really enjoyable to watch.
And great to see, I know you've said that the form may not be all there, but great to see High Jinx back and running an absolute cracker. It was let loose on the front end, and you expected the horse to weaken. It did, but then it battled back, and High Jinx, we know everything there is to know about the horse. I was actually thinking about High Jinx a few weeks back, looking back at some previous races and thinking, oh, he must have been retired. You just assume that you've missed the news, if you like, but the fact that he's come back and been able to put up a run like that suggests that there is life in the old dog yet.
Yeah, there is. I mean, you know, Doncaster Cups, and Doncaster is usually the track where he's produced some of his better performances, but he's run a cracking race, beaten two necks.
Yeah.
You know, now trained by Tim Easterby. David Allen rode him today, and David has been riding fantastically well. He had a great meeting at Chester last week. He's carried that on into York this week. And he's at the top of his game at the moment, David Allen. And Hughie Morrison's horse, Marmello, travelled really well into the contest. You know, he came off a strong run in France last time. It's a good race, really good renewal. And, you know, there's a few that will hopefully take a step forward. Like I said, the two fillies, Simple Verse and Endless Time, will hopefully go forward in terms of their fitness. And Dartmouth will hopefully find more improvement when he goes up and trip again.
Mm. What about other eye catches from the meeting then? We'll start with today's action as we are recording this. Your Knapp was a very impressive winner of a decent race, the very strong travelling Tomiris in the 255.
Yeah, I mean, I loved her performance when she won at Newmarket last time, Alex. She was very, very keen in the early part of that race, and she still finished off really strongly and ran through the line really strongly on that occasion. And for me, you know, it's either one or two things. It's a bad race, or, you know, the horse that's done that is above average and certainly better than the bare form than they've been able to show. And for me, you know, given the physical scope that she's got, I thought it was definitely the latter. You know, she was a horse that was clearly much better. Given who she's owned by, you know, an owner breeder, she was given an official mark of 82, which, you know, on ratings wouldn't be good enough. She's beaten On Her Toes, who's rated 97, I think, on this occasion. And they've sacrificed that mark in terms of going for black type. And given that, you know, at some stage she will go off to the paddocks, that was definitely the way to go. And she looked, you know, a lot better than the bare form of a win at Newmarket. She got a lovely lead into the race. I mean, the John Gosden horse and Sibilance have pulled far too hard, and they've set the race up for the closers. And, you know, the first thing to take out of that for me was, you know, Sibilance has been beat not too far in the end, you know, best part of three lengths she's gone down by, but the John Gosden horse has been beaten a long, long way, beaten a furlong nearly in the end. So Sibilance, clearly a horse that is better than the bare form. Given it was only her first start on turf and she'd shown her form on the poly track at Kempton, she's a horse to take out of it for me. I thought, you know, she had no right to end up getting that close, and she certainly didn't fall away, which was a huge plus for her going forward. But I do like Tommy Riss. You know, she will get better again. I think she'll improve again next time. Okay. Real good performance.
At a race that I know from talking to you off air and before the racing today, actually, that you were keen on pre-race was the 220 on Friday. The Marygate Filly Stakes, a listed contest. You said prior to the race that you thought that the form would be very strong regardless of what won. I have to be honest, I believe you said that you didn't like the favourite particularly. But the favourite has, or one of the favourites in the end, has gone on to score Main Desire, your winner from Neola and Mistress of Venice. But you think it could be a particularly strong renewal of this race?
Yeah, I do. You know, one thing about Main Desire, she's quick. You know, and she's taken a step forward from a Nottingham maiden win. You know, I thought, she, you know, one thing about her, she's a two-year-old. I thought possibly where I was coming from, Alex, is there's probably horses in the race with longer term scope than Main Desire. This will be her season.
She's a speedball and it's likely that she won't train on.
But yeah,
right now.
But right now she's a quick 2 year old and she's proved that again today. I mean, Neola went pretty fast in the early stages, but she's come through. I always felt that Danny Tudhope was getting there today. And that was a big step up in class from a maiden at Nottingham. I think she's a big, big player in the Queen Mary.
Okay.
I think that was a performance that would be up to winning a Queen Mary. You know, there was good talk of Mistress and Venice taking a massive step forward, and the money was down from her Beverly run, and she did that. That was a real good effort. But the two horses for me to benchmark the race around are the Maggie's Angel, who didn't handle the undulations at Ripon and still won well, and Daddy's Girl, who won a decent conditions race at Salisbury. You know, for in terms of early two-year-old season form, they were the two to benchmark the race around. And there's every reason to believe those two horses have ran their races today.
Fourth and fifth, respectively.
And finished fourth and fifth, beaten a long way. So, you know, it was a good race. Neola on the figures, you know, took a massive step forward last time at Nottingham when winning a maiden. She clocked the quickest time coming into the race. But Main Desire, you know, has ground her down in the closing stages, and I think she's one that will go forward, and she's a massive player in the Queen Mary.
Okay. What about other eye catches from the meeting then, from either Thursday or Wednesday? Of course, the ground, a lot has been made of it, and a lot of horses will be probably overbet based on the fact that they've won at York next time out. Then again, there are horses who have flopped at York who will probably be going off quite a big price for races next time, and let's make no bones about it. The ground has been, well, I live in Leeds, you live further north, but the weather's been pretty grim this week.
The big question is, even after the results, what is the ground, Alex? What is the ground at York this week? That is the big question. Because the times suggest probably good to soft on the first day. No worse than good yesterday for me, and probably back to where we was on day one today. Although I haven't seen the time of
Today's race,
I've seen I clocked the 2 year old race myself, and it was an identical time to the Declan Carroll winner of the 2 year old race on the first day.
Yes.
So you know, I think we're back to where we was on day one with a little bit of rain this morning. But yesterday, for me, I think it was decent ground. And the fact that they've gone under standard in a handicap yesterday, the mile handicap, suggests that, you know.
That was when Here Comes When won.
Here Comes When, you know, bounced back to form, real good run. Chelsea Ladd put a below par run from Newbury behind him and took a step back. In terms of him going forward, Victory Bond pulled a little bit hard and was a little bit keen. You know, I think he'll go forward again. Another touch when he gets genuine, fast ground, will be winning again. Get Knotted, you know, has ran on. He probably doesn't have as much scope as a few others in the race in terms of a mark of 100. But I certainly thought Victory Bond, Chelsea Ladd and Another Touch were future winners coming out the back of a strongly run handicap.
Okay.
So I thought that was a race to look at. And going back to the first day, that two-year-old race we touched on, Santry, who won a division of the two-year-old race at Doncaster, was well-backed late in the day and came through and put his experience to good use because he's beat, for me, a very good horse in Consequences. He travelled like an above-average type. I'm interested to see where he goes next time. I think a Northern Maiden will be a formality for him.
Well, there were some very likely newcomers in that.
Yeah.
Richard Fahey as well had It Don't Come Easy, who will doubtless be winning races this season. The fact that Santry has managed to win and win quite well as well in the end, do you think that is down to the horse being very, very good, far from average, because the horse carried a penalty? Or do you think that it's the fact that it purely had the experience? Because you'd look initially, if you're looking, you would literally, it would be a tick in one box and a cross in another. Carrying a penalty, no go. Has experience, tick. And whereas the other horses in the lineup were sort of neither, for both of them, if you like. Santry, I've got to say, I wasn't keen on in the slightest. And I know you're coming up against newcomers, but the money for, as you said, the Fahey and the O'Meara horse, who had been very well touted, suggests that it was an above average race and therefore Santry's performance was pretty special.
What he is, Alex, is a very well-developed two-year-old for this stage of the season. He's strong, he's forward, you know, and he's a lot stronger and more developed than other horses. I mean, you know, where he'll end up and where he'll be at the end of the season, you know, we've got to wait and see. But at this particular moment in time, he's a very well-developed two-year-old that is very, very strong. And he showed that with the way he finished off his race compared to the newcomer Consequences, who will hopefully build on that. You know, and for to have his first start on soft ground and show enough in the race itself going forward, I think, you know, he'll take a hopefully a big leap forward on his next start. But, you know, he's a nice type, Santry. There's plenty about him for this stage. Other horses will catch up with him in terms of growth and strength. But at this moment in time, he is a lot more forward and a lot more, you know, well-developed than other two-year-olds.
I was actually on Racing Radio on Wednesday when that horse ran. And it's eye-catching in a way that the horse won the Brocklesby, or at least one division of the Brocklesby, and then has been kept until now. Because so often you see Brocklesby winners or even horses that run in the Brocklesby, well, this season, you look at horses that also ran in the Brocklesby behind that horse, and they've been seen multiple times since. And that seems to be the way. If you've got a fast two-year-old who comes to hand early, you make hay while you can.
Yeah.
Whereas with this one, that they're almost playing the long game with it.
Yeah, what we hope to see now, Alex, in terms of the Brocklesby, is the changes they made to the two-year-old programme last season will hopefully, you know, invite trainers to put some of the better two-year-olds forward early into that race. Because, you know, up until a few years ago, if you won a Brocklesby, the options were limited where you actually run a horse after that. You know, where now you can run them in the novice races with a penalty. Not a maiden, but a novice two-year-old race with a penalty. And the last 2 years of the running of this two-year-old race at York has been won by a horse carrying a penalty. The Godolphin horse won it last year, and Declan Carroll's horse this year. So I know Dale Gibson was a little bit worried when the way they changed the programme, but I think it's been a positive from what we've seen. I was worried as well, but I think, I have to say, you know, after last season and what we've seen so far this season, I think it's been a positive change to the two-year-old programme.
Okay. No, fair enough. Santry certainly one to keep an eye on, as were many of the ones in behind on that occasion. Any other York eye catchers? Obviously, there were many.
There's many, but I think we've covered the main ones in terms of notebooks. The race to take out of it was the mile handicap, the horse consequences. We've seen a few good horses today. I think today's been the most, the day where it's provided us with the most clues in terms of horses going forward for me today. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, we can take the most out of the early races on Friday.
Okay. Right, we'll focus on Saturday's action then, and we're going to look at four races at Newbury, finalising with, of course, the Lockinge coming up at 3:30. But four good races to focus on. Do keep an eye on non-runners tomorrow. They're going, as we record this, at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoon. It's soft, good to soft in places. Now, the first race is the Al Rayyan Stakes, the 150. It's a Group 3 contest. And mile and a half the trip for this one, Craig. Pretty hard to rule any of these out. To Be Wild is the rank outsider, if you like, but even To Be Wild as a horse, in my opinion, is very interesting. It's a really good race to start the card, this. Mm,
it is a good race. To Be Wild does need to improve. He's only officially rated 104, and he's coming up against horses rated 117 here. There's nothing hiding in terms of his mark and in terms of what improvement is required as he runs in Group 3 company here.
He's the 20-1 outsider of the field. Midterm is the 3-1 favourite as we record this. It's 7-2 for Across the Stars. Hawkbill is also 7-2. Falls for Chemical Charge, and My Dreamboat is 9-2.
Yeah, I mean, let's touch on a few. Across the Stars is a real interesting run. I think in terms of after the race on Saturday, I think he's the one that probably go forward the most. I think he's the one that still has a fair bit of improvement to come. Mm-hmm. He won on his first start last year, but you know, let's not forget that was a Lingfield maiden, and he starts this time around in Group 3 company. So, we know he goes well fresh, but I think he will just come on a little bit. And, what we've seen from Dartmouth, although he won today, you would hope to see him go forward as well on his next start. He did look a little bit rusty the way he ran in the race. Mm-hmm. And for me, Across the Stars will hopefully improve for the run.
Okay.
So I would pass him over on those grounds that he will be better after this race on Saturday. Chemical Charge, set quite a fast pace at Newbury last time. The horse that ground him down in the latter stages, Muntahar, was very disappointing at York on Friday. So that form's taken a little bit of a knock. Hawkbill has never been a horse I've been like, to be honest, but he does have his stamina to prove at this trip, but ground conditions will be very much in his favour. I'm going to give Midterm another chance.
Okay.
There's no doubt he was disappointing in the Newbury race. You know, we've already touched on the fact that the winner's disappointed at York on Friday, but I think Midterm certainly didn't give his run in there. He's got the visor on for the first time. He's shown good form with cutting the ground, and I think he's worthy of another chance. Ryan Moore takes a ride. I think we've got to forgive the Newbury run, and hopefully, he can put that behind him and take a big step forward. Let's not forget he was, well fancied in some top Group 1 races last year. Didn't really come up to that level, but Group 3 should be well within his range.
Okay. So, getting the nod in that one is Midterm as we move to the 220 contest at Newbury. It's the Carnarvon Stakes, a listed race over 6 furlongs. 8 runners go to post as things stand in this one. May need the 8 runners if you want to have an each-way bet as well, because it is pretty open. Cora Pickers, 100-30 at the head of affairs. 7-2 for Perfect Angel. Private Matter 4s, 5s for Visionary. Barrington 7s, as is Simi. Florida Times 14s, and Just an Idea 50-1. All those prices correct at the time of recording. Cora Pick was highly touted last season. Mm. Was, depending on which way you look at it, very impressive and very disappointing. But at the same time, well, I say very disappointing. It's hard to be very disappointing when you're a horse that clearly has that much ability. That said, this race, I was going to say wide open, there are a couple of lurkers, but generally we know all we need to know about quite a few of these, which is rare in races like this.
Yeah, I've got doubts about him training on from 2 to 3,
okay,
Alex. He didn't really take the eye ahead of his debut at Thirsk, but he was impressive in the race itself. He came from a long way back and, absolutely bolted up by 4 lengths on that occasion. He finished second to the last line at Kempton following that, which ended up, a real decent effort. But his two latter runs in the season were disappointing. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't possess a lot of physical scope in terms of growing and improving from 2 to 3. And that would be the huge concern with Cora Pick for me. perfect angel in terms of last year's form. She set a standard. Some real solid runs behind the likes of Harry Angel, who's a real nice type. Sir Dancelot, you know, finished third at York behind Sir Dancelot. Were good efforts. But
she's back against the boys here.
Again, you know, there might be a few that just improve past that. I don't know how much more there is to come from Perfect Angel. The one I like is Barrington.
One of the unexposed runners.
Yeah, very much so. You know, was a really, really impressive winner and a quick time at Windsor. That was a good performance. And, you know, I actually thought she was a big runner at a big price in the July Stakes at Newmarket on the back of that. She was sent off 16-1. She finished sixth, beaten 4.5 lengths behind Maymarsh on that occasion. And on the whole, you have to say, you know, probably disappointed a bit. But, you know, there was every reason to believe there may well have been a problem because we didn't see him again after that. You know, he's had 317 days off, but the way Charles Hill's yard's going at the moment, you know, certainly don't see that as a negative. Got a visor, a tongue tie on for the first time, which may suggest, you know, it was a breathing problem at Newmarket last time, but I think he's a real unexposed runner, and he definitely displayed and showed that he could be potentially useful the way he won that maiden at Windsor last year.
You mentioned the form of the Charles Hills Yard. He hadn't been in fantastic form, had he? But just in the last few days, it seems like runners are just beginning to warm up. We've had an odds-on winner at Yarmouth, but then we saw Red Roman battle well to score at Newmarket, and a big price winner as well at Newbury on Friday. The team could just be just warming up, and it does sometimes take a little bit of time, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the signs are the last few days that, you know, the yard is going great guns at the moment. And, you know, that's certainly a positive in terms of a horse coming back from an absence of 317 days.
Absolutely. OK, so Barrington gets the nod in that one. We'll move to the 255, which is the London Gold Cup, a handicap over a mile and 2 furlongs. It's wide open, Craig. 5-1 joint favourites as we record this. Century Dream and Mucho Applause. Time to Study is 7s, 8-1 for Defoe, Glorious Forever 9s, 11s for Contrast, and Bigger Prices the rest. This has plenty of hallmarks of a bit of a minefield.
It is, and, you know, looking back at previous renewals, you're looking for a group horse and a handicap, really, to win this type of contest. I think, you know, on paper, certainly at this stage, it just looks a little bit of a below-par renewal for me. Century Dream probably sets a standard on what he achieved and ran a real good third at Sandown on his return. But the thing that puts me off Century Dream is that he's quite a free-going type that will likely, you know, try and get to the front here, and he will face competition for the lead. And on a quite galloping track like Newbury, you know, I think he could set the race up for a closer. You know, Century Dream, Time to Study is the other horse that is likely to take him on going forward. And I think they could set the race up for something coming from off the pace here, Alex.
Okay, namely?
Two horses that I think are interesting. Glorious Forever is one, you know, only second at Doncaster on his return. But look at the way that maiden worked out at Windsor that he won last year. Jewel House, the third horse, the fourth horse, the fifth Arab Moon. Rake's Progress, that was 80-1 sixth in that race, even won at Newmarket on Friday. So there's been plenty of winners come from that race. So he's one to be interested in. But the one I just prefer is Bush House. He was taken out of a race, I think, at York earlier in the week. But I think he's a progressive type. I don't think he's, you know, been up to the standard of recent winners of the race, but he is still going forward. He was a decent fourth at Doncaster when last seen. And, you know, there was plenty to like about the way he went through that Wolverhampton maiden when he beat War at Sea. So I think there's more to come from Bush House. Each way, he would get my vote in the race.
Okay. Currently a 12-1 shot as we speak. The final race we're going to focus on is the Lockinge, coming up at 3:30. Group 1 over a mile on the straight course at Newbury. And a decent renewal. Ribchester 7-4 at the head of affairs. 3s for Galileo Gold. Somehow is 9-2. Lightning Spear at 5-1. Acclaim is 9s. And then a jump out to 33s for Breton Rock and Mitchum Swagger. And Toscanini 50-1 on the outsider of the field. We'll start with the favourite here, Ribchester. Like soft ground, and that could be key. Was a winner of the Jersey in impressive fashion last year, and since then hasn't really done a great deal wrong.
I think it's a match, Alex. I do. I think it is between Ribchester and Galileo Gold. And, you know, what do we look at? Do we look at the early season form when they raced against each other last year with Galileo Gold coming out on top? Or do we look at the back end form where Richester improved past Galileo Gold, and Galileo Gold's form tailed off a little bit in the latter stages of the season? I'm looking at the second part there, and I think Ribchester is a horse that improved. And he's had a spin out in Maidan where he finished third, and you know, I think he's the horse that is likely to retain and improve upon his form as a four-year-old.
Yeah.
Where I don't know how much more there is to come from Galileo Gold.
Ribchester looks like he could be around for years, doesn't
yes.
he? The kind of real...
He's a more robust horse,
nice
isn't
stamp
he?
Of a horse yeah. that you wouldn't be surprised in 2 or 3 years if he's still competing at a pretty high level. Whereas, I see what you mean about Galileo Gold. Certainly of the two of them, you'd expect one of them to have a bit more longevity.
Has Galileo Gold bottomed out as well? You know, I think we've probably seen Galileo Gold peak in his career in the early part of last season. And I think Ribchester is a horse that is certainly right at the top of his game, and I'd have to be with him to get the better of Hugo Palmer's horse.
Okay. Let's not forget, of course, that Paco Boy, who of course is the sire of Galileo Gold, not Galileo, did win this race in 2010. I remember it well. I was at Thirsk that day.
As a five-year-old as well.
Yeah. So it runs in the family, you could say. But you do make it a match between the two. Of the others, let's not forget Somehow and Lightning Spear, because they do bring some good form to the table. But again, we know everything we need to know pretty much about them.
Yeah, and you've just had a list of previous winners up from this race, Alex. And you look at recent renewals, and it's four-year-olds, five-year-olds. The last six-year-old to win it was Rakti in 2005, and there's another quite a big gap, you know, to the one before that. So, you know, I think he's probably a little bit too exposed, Lightning Spear.
Yeah.
And I think Ribchester, the younger horse, will probably have too many guns for him.
Also worth noting that Godolphin have got a fantastic record in the race. They've won three of the last four with Far, Knight of Thunder, and Bellardo. So, you sticking with Ribchester?
I'm sticking with Ribchester, yeah. I think he's the class act here.
Okay. Great stuff, Craig. Can you just wrap up your four selections at Newbury, starting with the 150?
Midterm, Visored for the first time. Hopefully can get back on track. In the 220, Barrington to hopefully provide a little bit of value there. In the 255 at Newbury, we're going with the, hopefully, outsider and a decent price in Bush House each way. And finally, in the Lockinge, we're going with the class horse, Ribchester.
Great stuff. Thank you very much for joining me, Craig. Make sure you tune in to William Hill's Racing Radio on Saturday for all of the action. Promises to be a real cracker. Tom Morley and John Budden will be your pundits on Saturday, with James Millman steering the ship. Make sure you join them. But for now, Craig, thank you.
Thank you, Alex.
And we'll catch up with you soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.